Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
And make sure you book your stay for their June and July midweek summer vacations. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. All right, we're going to jump back into the president here, speaking to the troops at Fort Bragg, touching on a variety of issues, including the riots in L.A., the importance of respecting our military, and some other issues as well. So let's take a listen.
You heard of it. Quite a beautiful statement. Think of what that means. Give me liberty or give me death. I know exactly what that means. Just 3 days after the birth of the Army, the great patriot, founding father, Dr. Joseph Warren, was on the front lines as a soldier stood totally outnumbered and outgunned at Bunker Hill. They had a group of soldiers against them that was supposed to be, in that day, unbeatable. Warren's mother had begged him, "Son, please don't do it." She said, "Please, please don't do it. Don't risk your life for even the patriot cause, please." And he replied, "Wherever danger is, dear mother, there your son will be. I will either set my country free or shed my last drop of blood to make us so." So beautiful. So the words are so beautiful. At Bunker Hill, Warren kept his vow, fighting and fighting and fighting and loving his country until he fell, drenched in blood, and gave his life at the very young age of 34, exactly 250 years later, we are joined by Dr. Warren's great-great-great-great-great-grandson. And it's seven generations down. And now an Iraq war veteran, retired Army specialist, Scott Warren, is here with his daughter, Sergeant E5 Carrington Sanders of Fort Irwin. I want to just, where are you? Where would you be in this big crowd? Thank you very much. What an honor. What an honor. You look great, too, by the way. You really look great. Thank you very much. What a great family. But you carry in your veins the love and devotion of a martyr for American liberty. Please stand. Just put that hand up once more for the people, because they want. Thank you very much. You're looking good. Looking good. Good genes. Good genetics. Thank you both. Thank you very much. The life of a soldier is not just a job. It's a calling and a sacred tradition passed down from father to son, brother to sister, and one generation to the next. At every hour of danger, our noblest citizens have answered that call, kissed their loved ones goodbye, and run to the sound of guns. You run to the sound of guns, you run right into them, you're going to win. When the British tried to reconquer our young nation in 1812, 1,000 Americans at Fort McHenry fought off a British invasion fleet, 5,000 strong. They say it was unstoppable. Lieutenant Francis Scott Key, you all heard the name, watched from Baltimore Harbor as the Army kept Old Glory flying high. Many people died. Deeply inspired, he wrote a poem in tribute to Army courage and American pride, known today as the Star Spangled Banner, or our national anthem. Great. Eight generations later, we're joined by a descendant of Francis Scott Key, who has spent two decades in uniform, Major Kyle Key of Army National Guard fame. Please, Major, where are you, Major? Thank you. Thank you. Looking good, too. What's going on here? These guys are, they all come from a very fine strain of blood. That's great genetics, is right. Thank you both very much. Major Key, thank you for helping to keep this incredible land of ours free and the home of the brave, and that's what it was. Through the decades that followed, the Army conquered the great frontier, won the war that restored our nation and broke forever the chains of slavery. A generation later, the Army's Rough Riders stormed up San Juan Hill with Colonel Theodore Roosevelt and swept the last foreign empire from the American hemisphere forever.
We're going to leave the president at Fort Bragg, but we'll return as time permits as we take you live to the House for votes.
All right, so jumping out of that, obviously, and he had a lot to say today. Obviously, it's been a busy one here on the show, but the key is he talked about making it a go to jail if you burn the American flag, which obviously the Supreme Court has said in a unanimous decision in Texas v. Johnson that you have a constitutional right to burn the flag, so it would take a constitutional amendment. So I probably wouldn't hold my breath too much. He also didn't get many applause on that point, but he got a lot of applause in talking about the importance of celebrating our military, particularly for winning World War II. Which is something the president said, and good. He said my favorite line today, which is that if it wasn't for us, you'd all be speaking German or Japanese today, or maybe a combination of both. I love that line, and I'm going to keep saying that line. It's great. All right, so 855-839-1210 is the number if you want to weigh in on anything we are discussing today. And the protests have also hit home in Philadelphia as well. Anti-ICE protesters in Philadelphia, this is cut number 7 here, stood in solidarity with L.A. and the immigrant community. This is a news report from NBC 10. Take a listen.
Women and children.
They stood at the corner of 6th and Market this afternoon, chanting for all to hear. They're against what they call unjust ICE raids in this country.
I'm simply saying, you know, due process, keep them safe when they are detained. Don't do raids, especially targeting completely safe people who are not doing anything dangerous.
This union-led rally is in solidarity with those fighting for change on the streets of Los Angeles. Tensions remain high there after recent raids and arrests. They include David Huerta, the head of California's Service Employees International Union, who was arrested Friday for documenting an ICE raid. He's charged with a felony of impeding an officer.
We're going to have troops everywhere.
Since then, President Trump has ordered hundreds of National Guard soldiers and Marines to the city.
It's terrifying. This is not what we stand for as Americans. We don't send our military into our cities to fight and detain our own citizens.
And we don't got it!
More than a dozen cities across the country joined Philadelphia in demonstrating today. In L.A., authorities are using tear gas and rubber bullets to control the crowds. They say some protesters are facing charges ranging from looting, attempted murder, to assault on an officer.
What ICE did the last couple of days is make Los Angeles safer by taking public safety threats off the street.
We reached out to ICE but haven't heard back yet. On social media, the agency says it arrested gang members, murderers, and convicted felons during the L.A. operations.
You know what's interesting about that is that it's coming this weekend to the No Kings protest, which is coming to Philadelphia and also across the country in these organized protests, something the president mentioned a lot in his Oval Office comments today, how these are paid. These people, it's not organic. These people are paid to be out there doing these things. You're damn right they are. I'm going to jump back into the president in just a moment because he started speaking again. But I want to just play a clip for you. There is a Democrat who may very well become the Democrat nominee for governor of New Jersey today. Her name is Mikey Sherrill. She's a member of Congress. And this is cut number 8 now. She was talking about Pete Hegseth and putting the Marines on the streets of America and how dangerous this is. If she wins the primary today, this is what I mean in terms of why I think Republicans can win because of this kind of craziness. People look at what's happening in L.A. and they're glad the National Guard is there. They're glad that the cops are glad that they have the help. Everybody with a brain, with a reasonable brain, is glad that we're restoring order, just like Eisenhower did, like Kennedy did, like LBJ did, like Nixon did, like George H.W. Bush did. It's not that complicated. And most Americans, normal Americans, overwhelmingly see that. But to win the primary, you got to sound like a kook or you're not going to win the Democrat primary. So hopefully this will come back to haunt her if she is, in fact, the Democrat nominee for governor of New Jersey, that election going on today. Hopefully you've gotten out and voted. Cut number 8.
The military, on the other hand, is trained to fight wars. They are trained to shoot to kill. They are trained in very different means of combat. Not riots, not trying to keep people safe. To have someone like Hegseth say that he's going to put the Marines on the streets of America, that's really dangerous. It's dangerous for our civilian populations. It's not good for the Marines. It's not what they are trained to do, and you're putting them in a very bad situation. I think Governor Newsom going to court is exactly what he should be doing now, to plead in court and to try to actually continue to contain the situation, continue to keep people safe, as Trump is, as usual, doing nothing but what he thinks works for himself politically and actually putting a lot of people in danger.
There you go, putting people in danger. And that's why I'm telling you right now, if this is the Democrat nominee, it's going to be easy to win in November. Not easy, nothing's easy, but easier, that's for sure. Because they all sound like crazy people right now. Let's jump back into the president speaking at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, to the military today. Take a listen.
That was 6 months ago. And then we had the election of November 5th. And now we have the strongest recruiting numbers in the history of our country. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? We've already surpassed our recruiting targets for 2025 and we're not done yet. And I'll tell you, it doesn't make you feel good when you had to hear 6-7 months ago that nobody wants to join the Army. They don't want to join our military. Frankly, they didn't want to join our police, our firemen. They lost confidence. They lost faith in our country. And just a short number of months later, we're setting all-time records. In fact, your job might be in jeopardy. Somebody else may come in and take it. That was bad. We'll get you out of here. You have to be good. We're getting the best people that you've ever seen. We're getting people I don't think we've ever seen anything like it. Great people are coming in. Doesn't it make you feel good, though? You have something and you're doing something and other people want to join you. Isn't that a great feeling? Now, wasn't it a lousy feeling just a short time ago when they announced, you know, you're a soldier? And you're proud of your country and you're proud of the Army in your case. And you're reading stories about nobody wants to come in and join the military, right? Isn't that lousy? Even the ladies from North Carolina were not happy with that. But then we had a great election. It was amazing. Too big to rig. We had a great election and all of a sudden the people are pouring in and we have incredible people like Pete and the others that are here, Dan. I think they made a big difference. I really do. So thank you very much. All of you guys, I think you've really made a big difference. The Army will soon be stronger, bigger, and better than ever before. And every new soldier that joins our ranks will kindle the same fighting spirit exemplified by the likes of Sergeant Major Jim Schmidt, who's no longer with us. At 15 years old, after lying about his age, because he wanted to get in so badly, Jim trained at Fort Bragg to fight in World War II. When Jim's middle school wrote to ask if he would attend his eighth grade graduation, he wrote back, "That will be impossible, as I'm rather busy now. I'm in the hinterlands hunting down Germans." And I have to say this, and Italians. I know there are a couple of Germans and Italians here. As a paratrooper, he made the famous drops at Sicily and Salerno while still a young boy, too young to be in. The Army kicked him out. They found out about it. They kicked him out. They discovered he was way underage. They said, "Jim, you got to get out of here. You're a hell of a soldier, but you got to get out." But that didn't stop Jim. He enlisted in the Navy. But the moment he turned 18, he came right back and he joined the 82nd Airborne. How about that? He went on to fight at the Chosun Reservoir in Korea, rough place. Saw combat in Vietnam and ended his career right back at Fort Bragg, having earned 2 Silver Stars, 3 Bronze Stars, and 2 Purple Hearts. With us today is Jim's widow, Peggy, and their beloved grandson, Army Specialist Christian Forbes, who is currently deployed at our southern border, defending our country from an invasion, whether we like it or not. It's an invasion, but I don't know if you've heard, the invasion was 99.9% stopped. Do you hear that? 99? Could even be more right. 99.999% stopped. That invasion is stopped, so I think he's in good shape. Specialist Forbes, I want to thank you for defending America. And you've obviously done a good job because that invasion has been stopped, and we appreciate you being here. Thank you, wherever you may be. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Great. We stopped that sucker, didn't we, huh? We stopped it. Thank you very much. Each and every one of you here today carries in your souls the love, strength, and courage of millions upon millions of Army patriots who came before you. Your uniforms bear the same stars and stripes that our ancestors carried to victory at Yorktown, across the Great Plains, and over our Rockies, up the Missionary Ridge, down through the streets of Paris. That's right. We went down the streets of Paris. We got to help our allies, don't we? Across the sands of North Africa and onto the shores of Omaha Beach, into the blood-soaked hills of Korea. And it was a West Point graduate named Buzz Aldrin who first planted our great American flag on the face of the moon. We know that. Now it's your turn to carry that flag forward and to add your own daring deeds into this chronicle of triumph and legends. Now it's your duty to shield the flame of freedom that was first lit 250 years ago by the heroes of Concord Bridge and Bunker Hill. Standing before you today, I am more confident than ever that in the days ahead and every generation to come, the U.S. Army will heap glory upon glory upon glory upon us all. You will protect every inch of U.S. soil, and you will defend America to the ends of the earth. Wherever danger is, there the U.S. Army will be. Another beautiful phrase. Whatever peril comes our way, whatever menace threatens our people, you will stand strong, you will be proud, you will charge hard, and you will keep that flame lit, that beautiful, beautiful flame. You're going to keep it lit. You will hold the flag high, and you will do something that's become quite a famous little phrase also, but you're a hell of a lot braver than me. You will fight, 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 and you will win, win, win. Thank you. God bless you. God bless our soldiers, and God bless the U.S. Army. Thank you very much.
All right,
thank
there you go,
everybody.
President wrapping up from Fort Bragg, speaking to the media, and I'm speaking to the soldiers, and there we go. Okay. We continue along here in our happy hour, brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. I want to share this with you as well. So I think, Matt, do we have the other clip of Mikey Sherrill? I think you said you found that, right?
Yeah, I do have it. Yeah, okay. I can play from here, Justin.
So, again, today's primary day in New Jersey. Jack Chitarelli is expected to win the Republican nomination, considering that President Trump has heavily endorsed him. But we'll see. On the Democrat side, it's a much more of a jump ball. Mikey Sherrill, who's a Democrat member of Congress from North Jersey, she is considered to be the front runner. I'm rooting for Ross Baraka. He's the crazy mayor of Newark who got arrested, and his dad was a black militant. And if Ross Baraka is a nominee, then this thing in November is a friggin' cakewalk because he's a lunatic. But I don't think he's going to wind up winning. I'm praying. I'm lighting candles for him. Oof. But Mikey Sherrill's whole thing is she's been pretending that she's been a moderate. And she served in the military, and she's a mom, and blah, blah, blah. You know. But to win the primary, you got to go to the left. And so with everything that's happening in L.A., She decides that she's going to be on the side of the Karen Bass, Gavin Newsom, and the crazies who think that the president should not do anything to stop the violence that we're seeing on the streets of Los Angeles. In fact, even going so far as to blame him for it. So here's New Jersey Congresswoman Mikey Sherrill, what she said today outside a polling place in New Jersey. Take a listen.
In fact, just this morning, Democratic Congresswoman Mikey Sherrill was asked about the L.A. protests, and she was highly critical of President Trump's handling of the anti-ICE protests and riots.
Governor Newsom surged law enforcement in, and what Trump seems to be doing is trying to add fuel to the fire and really make a situation violent and bad, and I just think that's completely unacceptable.
Making a situation violent and bad by bringing in the National Guard to stop the violence and what's bad. And she finds that to be unacceptable. So this is what I mean. This is what we're dealing with right now. You know, the president was asked, like, how long is the National Guard going to stay? He says, as long as it takes. As long as it takes. And Kristi Noem made a great point. You know, Tim Walz was such a freaking doofus, right? I mean, the worst pick the Democrats could have possibly made in that election. But she said, you know, I was governor when the Midwestern doofus Tim Walz was governor. I watched him let his city burn, and we're not going to let this happen again. So here's Secretary Noem from today, which they made the announcement that they are going to take FEMA and give it to the states to control. And the president's point is, hey, if you're a governor and you can't handle this, you'll have the money, you'll have the access, but if you can't handle this, maybe you should not be governor. I agree with that. Why does it have to be a federal response? Isn't it funny how the Democrats demand it to be a federal response when it's a hurricane, it's a wildfire, it's a natural disaster, but they take no accountability for whatever they did to create the problem. Like in California, for example, where Gavin Newsom blames the wildfires on climate change, but everybody has said, who knows, that it's because they stopped doing the controlled burns, and that's why you have so many wildfires. So you have irresponsible governors who create these situations. Then the Democrats scream that they want the feds to come in and solve the problem. When it's violence on the streets, they scream they don't want the feds to come in and solve the problem. You notice that? I notice that. Absolutely, I notice that. So here's what Secretary Noem said, cut number four.
So in 2020, I was a governor of a neighboring state to Tim Walz and watched him let his city burn. And the president and I have talked about this in the past, and he was not going to let that happen to another city and to another community where a bad governor made a bad decision. So Claudia Sheinbaum came out and encouraged more protests in L.A., and I condemn her for that. She should not be encouraging violent protests that are going on. If people are allowed to peacefully protest, but the violence that we're seeing is not acceptable, and it's not going to happen in America. This president is standing up for the average American who wants to walk their child to school every day safely, run their small business, and provide for their families. That's the action that he's taken. He has every authority under the Constitution to send these National Guard under Title 10 into these communities and make sure that operations go smoothly, that law enforcement officers are protected, that they can continue to go their work, do their work without fear of being injured or killed or disrespected, and that they can go home to their families at night. So I'm incredibly proud of the president for activating the National Guard and for sending in these Marines, because these Marines are specifically trained to meet the need that we have on the ground in LA right now. And Governor Newsom has done a disservice to the state of California for many years. The people there should never elect him into a leadership position ever again.
Yeah, exactly. And it's amazing to me that people think that we should not have this nonsense stopped on the streets of America. Crazy. Well, speaking of crazy, here's Maxine Waters. Americans should not rely on their own eyes. You know, there was no violence at these Los Angeles riots. You didn't see anything. All right. Don't believe your lying eyes. Just like you didn't see Biden shake hands with the invisible man. All right. Because that never happened. I promise you it never happened. Cut 10.
And even those who were out of step with what we are advocating, peaceful protest, did not create any violence. Nobody was shot. Nobody was killed. Get it in your head. And so when martial law is called, what are you going to say? I missed the point. Don't miss the point, you all. Don't think that somehow, because they called out the National Guard, there was violence. There was no violence. I was on the street. I know. And I went from downtown detention back out into the community, talking to people, what happened in Paramount, what happened in Compton, what happened in Inglewood. So First of all, get it straight. And don't just rely on what you're being told or the few incidents that you saw.
Don't listen to what you're seeing with your own eyes don't listen to what you're hearing with your ears or look at what you're watching with your eyes. And it also, as the vampiric one Nancy Pelosi has said, this is really the exuberance of the moment. That's what it is. People are just excited. And then, of course, there's some rambling about January 6th because the left cannot go 5 minutes without mentioning the high holy day of the left, January the 6th. Cut number 11.
There is a large gathering of people. The anarchists see it as an opportunity and they move in. So always have to be careful whether you see a burned car or a broken window or whatever it is. It may be the exuberance of the moment, but it may be the anarchist setting in. I heard one of the former police chiefs of Los Angeles speak about this on Sunday. Secondly, and you know this to be true, and I haven't seen it really reflected so much in the press. In a bipartisan way, on January 6th, with violence against the Constitution, against the Congress, and against the United States Capitol, we beg the President of the United States to send in the National Guard.
No.
He would not do it.
You told your daughter, we have the receipts. You said no. You didn't want the National Guard. The mayor of D.C. did not want the National Guard. You felt like their presence would make things tense. So you said no, because you were hoping for chaos that day, and you got it. And then the president can't just snap his fingers and have the National Guard just show up. It takes time to mobilize them, which is why he offered the 10,000 troops days in advance of January the 6th. And you said no, you lying vampire. That's the truth. That's the truth. Bottom line. Now, as we're about to see this nationwide craziness unfold before our very eyes in the United States of America, because they're doing this in Philadelphia this weekend and across the country with this No Kings movement paid for by God only knows who the dark money lords can be behind all this, right? Will we see this kind of craziness play out in the streets of Philadelphia? It's entirely possible. We'll talk more about this. Our buddy Andy McCarthy from National Review and Fox News will join us. But I want to tell you, with all this rain, and there was more of it this morning, it's like it never ends. There's more rain later in the week, more rain this weekend. What do you do if you've got water problems? It's easy. You reach out to Garden State Earthworks. My buddy Lou Vargo, he's the man. Call him today at 856-848-4444. 856-848-4444. Now, they are super busy with all this rain that's been happening because water problems never go away on their own. You know, if you've got water getting into your basement, against your foundation, your swimming pool, if you notice your swimming pool liner is shifting, damaging your hardscape, just stagnant water on your property, all these things are bad and will cost you a lot of money if you don't deal with it. So reach out to Garden State Earthworks. What they do is they drain the water away. It's what they did for me in two different homes, and they'll do that for you. So like I said, pick up the phone right now, tell them I sent you, let them make you a priority, and see the great work that they do that's guaranteed. 856-848-4444 or GardenStateEarthworks.com.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zeoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a big day today. A lot going on. Seems like every day is a big day with a lot going on. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today on X at Rich Zeoli and 855-839-1210. Andrew C. McCarthy from National Review. So great to have him back on the show. He's not only a former United States attorney, he's a Fox News contributor. He is senior fellow at National Review, and he is also a Mets fan, but don't let that stop you from liking what he has to say, because he's passionate. That's what matters, Andy, right? That's what, the passion is what you have.
Yeah, and the age and knowledge that nobody wins anything in June. So.
Yeah, well, there you go. And this is a good time for us Phillies fans to make fun of the Mets. I mean, it seems like always a good time, so why not, you know?
Right. Well, feeling's mutual, so that's what makes it a love affair, right?
So. And he's also the author of the book, Ball of Collusion, The Plot to Rig an Election and Destroy a Presidency. By the way, you're due for another book. When's it coming out?
The minute that President Trump lets me breathe for 15 seconds, but I don't think he's letting you breathe either, right? So,
no.
I can't. I have to say, Rich, I get up most days and think I don't have the bandwidth for what's going on today. So
yeah.
The thought of trying to write a book about it is kind of daunting.
Yeah, try doing a four-hour radio show. By the end of the show, my brain, I can't think or talk. My wife goes, how was your day? I'm like, don't ask me anything. I can't speak. Well, your latest piece over at nationalreview.com, you talk about how the president has the legal authority to suppress the siege in Los Angeles. So let's talk about that, Andy. And first of all, I know he's not officially invoked the Insurrection Act. Does he need to?
No. And, you know, the interesting thing about this, Rich, is I think this conversation or this topic got off on the wrong direction, because what the president tries to do, and I think what the White House tries to do, I don't know, looking at some of Trump's executive orders, I don't know how much the Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel has to do with that stuff anymore. But they try to cite statutory law so that they can make the argument that, you know, he's not governing as a dictator. He's not going outside the law. He's, you know, actually carrying out functions within the scope of statutes. And I think when they do that, what gets missed is there are certain areas where under Article 2 of the Constitution, the president has authority whether Congress enacts statutes or not, with respect to certain responsibilities of governance, particularly in the area of national security. So to just be less abstract about it, there's a in 1863, there's a series of cases that are known in Supreme Court jurisprudence as the prize cases. And what the proposition they stand for is that the president of the United States has not only the authority, but the obligation to protect the United States in the event of a violent uprising, whether it's an enemy who's trying to make war from within or from without. And that's a considerable source of presidential authority when there is a violent uprising or even the threat of one. So I don't know. You know, the idea that if it got down to brass tacks, constitutionally speaking, if Congress didn't pass any statutes that purported to empower the president, my own view is if it were a real crisis, he would have all the power he needed based on Article 2.
So then what is the purpose of the Insurrection Act then?
Well, you know, there's a lot of places where the president has constitutional authority where Congress also grants the president power. And that's not an inconsiderable thing, because there's a famous legal test that kind of arises out of the Steele seizure case from the Korean War era. And it's based on a concurrence that was written by Justice Robert Jackson. But what and what Jackson said is that when the president acts under a congressional grant of power, he's at the apex of his authority, the highest point, because he has all the power that he has himself under Article 2 of the Constitution, plus any power that Congress could give him that would supplement the authority he has. And, you know, most of the time we're not making like exacting approximations of, you know, what degree of power does the president have here? It's an impressive array of power. If he has his own, you know, if we're talking about a national security matter or a foreign policy matter, or, for example, immigration matter, where Congress has legislated in a way that grants the president sweeping authority, then he's in a very comfortable place taking action. Whereas what Jackson says is if the president acts in the absence of the statute, he's got, at least at first blush, you have to consider that he may have less power. And if he acts in contradiction of a statute, what that means is the only power he has is what he has constitutionally speaking. In other words, the only way that he could act legitimately, if there's a statute that ostensibly bars him from acting, is if the Constitution gives him that authority. An example would be if the president during wartime, if Congress tried to enact a statute that said we should attack this place on this date, and the president then turned around and decided to attack someplace else on that date, he'd be acting in contravention of the statute, but he's the commander in chief and the Constitution gives him that authority. So even though he'd be at the low ebb on the Jackson formula, he'd still be in the right because the Constitution gives him that power. And what I'm saying is with respect to violent uprisings, and I also think with respect to the execution of legitimate federal functions like the enforcement of the immigration law and the protection of federal personnel and federal facilities, the president has all he needs in the way of power from Article 2 of the Constitution.
It's a good way of understanding it, though, and then sort of supplementing the power from the Constitution with what Congress has passed. All right, Andy McCarthy, right. Thank you for that explanation. Now, when the Democrats are screaming about how like he has to be asked by a governor before he can federalize the National Guard, I mean, there's so many examples, even in recent history, of people, presidents who did not. I mean, I think probably the most famous one in Los Angeles would be George H.W. Bush federalizing the Guard in the wake of the riots after the Rodney King verdict. But I think the most famous one, of course, is Dwight Eisenhower. I mean, he federalizes the Guard. Arkansas escorts the children into the schoolhouse, but also deals with the riots that were going on at the time in Arkansas.
Right. You know, look, if the president federalizes the National Guard, it's all very nice for Congress to put a bunch of stuff in the statute about, like, consulting with the governor and all that stuff. The governor is not in the chain of command of the federal armed forces. When the armed forces, when the National Guard is called into federal service, that means that they are under the command of the commander in chief, which the governor of the state is not. So I think it's very appropriate, given that the National Guard is a state body, and it is ordinarily, unless it's been federalized, it answers to the governor and protects the state and is there for state purposes. It's fine to have a provision that says you should consult with the governor, but once the president decides to call them into federal service, the governor doesn't get a veto over that. That's as long as the president is carrying out federal functions. And again, the courts have said for the last century and for the last 20 years unmistakably that immigration enforcement is basically a plenary power of the federal government. Gavin Newsom has nothing to say about that. He's got nothing to say about the federal armed forces, and he's got nothing to say about immigration enforcement. He doesn't have to help the president enforce federal immigration law, but if he impedes it, he's committing a crime just like anybody else would be.
In fact, there's some breaking news on that, Andy. I want to play for you Cut 31. This just was announced on CNN by Jake Tapper. Let's take a listen.
Judge has denied the state of California's request to stop Trump from using the California National Guard to keep the peace and keep order during these protests. CNN's Elena Treen is at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, where President Trump is speaking. And Elena, that's a big development, the judge denying California's request. Tell us about that and tell us what the president has been saying in his Fort Bragg speech.
Well, we can jump out of that. So, Andy, there you go. I mean, at least a federal judge getting, you know, making the right call on that issue.
Yeah, and I actually I have a sigh of relief that you probably can't hear, but I did make one because I said this morning I was asked about this on Fox News, and I said I really didn't think Newsom was going to get a warm reception from the courts. And
right.
I'm glad to see. Yeah, I'm glad to see that was true. I think the thing is that we're so used to Democratic politicians and interest groups forum shopping to friendly judges. I'm not saying that the other side doesn't do this, too. Of course they do. But, you know, we're used to, like, if it's an immigration issue, they run to the judge like in Hawaii, who was Obama's classmate in law school. And the next thing you have an injunction. Right. We're used enough to that happening that I think we just assume it's going to happen. But, you know, it's a very different situation when you got a city on fire. We're not talking here about, like, you know, immigration regulation. We're now talking about, like, violent uprisings. And, you know, judges have to be much more serious about that. And they don't want to be responsible for carnage. And I actually think they're doing Newsom a favor. Because now Newsom can say, you know, look, I fought the good progressive fight, but, you know, the courts wouldn't go along. He can blame it on the courts, and it kind of gives him an off-ramp here, I think.
Oh, I mean, he would love to get arrested. He really would. It would nothing he'd love more at this point than to try to boost his stature even more. It's amazing because, I mean, you were obviously your claim to fame, among many other things, obviously, is your work as a United States attorney for the Southern District of New York, deputy United States attorney for the Southern District of New York. And I mean, so many times you have these joint efforts between state and federal government to deal with things. But whenever it comes to immigration, it always seems to me, Andy, like the or assistant U.S. attorney, I'm going to get your title right. I apologize. It always seems like the left wants nothing to do with the feds when it comes to immigration. And they'll fight them on it. I mean, they'll work with them when it comes to going after drugs. They'll work with them when it comes to going after, you know, certain things. But when it comes with immigration, the left says absolutely not. And the feds, we won't cooperate. We won't help. We won't do a joint task force. Nothing. It's so different from all the other ways that you see these joint task force that you've probably experienced. I mean, personally, with terrorism and et cetera.
Well, I think, Rich, it's more granular than that. I think it's like this is the left-right divide. And in every era of American history, there always is one. You know, in the run-up to the Civil War, it was tariffs and, you know, the nullification debate that went on from about 1828 until the Civil War started, really. And you can see the seeds of it there. But there are some issues that divide the left and the right more than necessarily that divide the states and the federal government. For example, you know, the task forces that you talked about, yes, you're not going to get an immigration task force in, say, California, but you get one in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get one in a red state.
Yep.
So this is really more about the political divide. And what I always try to remind myself in these situations is that, you know, the politicians in the blue states who carry out these sanctuary policies, they didn't spontaneously appear out of nowhere. They all got elected. And what that ought to tell us is that, you know, these sanctuary policies, which we happen to think are insane, and I think correctly so, because what you're talking about, you know, you can't talk about the rule of law and sanctuary cities, because the sanctuary is that it's a sanctuary from the rule of law, right? So you have to have either one or the other. But in these blue states and particularly blue cities, the public voted for these officials who push these policies. They're much more sympathetic to, you know, the illegal alien problem than I think most of the rest of the country is. And while that may, you know, if you look at the country broadly, maybe this is a 70-30 or an 80-20 issue, broadly speaking. But in places like Los Angeles or Manhattan, it's not.
Yeah.
You know, the people voted for these policies.
Yeah, and you've made that point, and it's a good point to make because, you know, while we can't comprehend the fact that they voted for these policies, they did, nevertheless. Listen, Andy, I know you got to run. Real quick, the subpoenas on Biden and his people, and then, of course, Congress bringing them in on the auto pen and whether or not Biden was mentally incompetent. 30 seconds, where do you see this going?
I don't think it's going to get anywhere. I think that there should be accountability. We ought to know what went on there. I'm a little bit concerned that if it becomes a criminal investigation, then that'll give people an excuse to clam up. I'd like to see congressional hearings where people have to answer questions about what they were doing while the president was obviously deteriorating. I don't think, Rich, that people care that much who goes to jail over this, but we really do want to know what happened. And this ought to be exposed, at least for political accountability purposes.
Yeah, no question about it. I agree with you on that point. And I hope we get some answers on this. I really do. That's what we deserve. Follow Andy on X at Andrew C. McCarthy and get all his stuff over at nationalreview.com. Andy, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rich.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so as we continue along the show here today, I'm so excited about Bob's Little Sports Shop. You know, we talk about freedom, we talk about liberty. I miss Biden's Biden. I do not miss Biden. I miss Bob's poems. Bob's poems were great. He would come on the station, he'd talk about freedom and liberty and how it's never free, and I used to love those. Well, now Bob's Little Sports Shop is our sponsor. And I love that because I love the Second Amendment. I love defending myself and my family. I think it is critical to the United States of America. And it is critical that you go see Bob's and take advantage of some incredible sales that they're having for the month of June, their big anniversary sale going on with some historic firearms and incredible service as well. So 60 years in business, a really remarkable milestone. And they're celebrating June 24th through the 28th. Specials throughout the store. Bob's will have a limited number of very special commemorative Henry rifles for sale. So get in to check out their incredible inventory and the milestone event of 60 years in business right on Delcy Drive in Glassboro. Military discounts as well. Bob's Little Sports Shop. Incredible selection. Great people. There's a range, training, classes, Black Rifle Coffee. I mean, it's all there for you. One-stop shop, go to bobslittlesportshop.com. I've really been hoping to get them as a sponsor for a long, long time, and I'm really happy they've joined the show. So give them some love and go see them. They have everything you can imagine when it comes to firearms and all of your needs. bobslittlesportshop.com. Bob's Little Sports Shop, big June celebration, 60 years in business. This ad sponsored by Bob's Little Sports Shop.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There'll be peace when you see. I don't want to start singing, but I know on YouTube you get dead air because we can't play music. So we're playing. And I can't sing, so. Ozempic makes your package bigger, according to a story that I have. You know, a lot of people are using the weight loss drugs now, the GLP-1 shots to lose weight. Well, apparently, according to a story in the New York Post, I don't know this because I don't take the shot, but apparently male users are revealing shocking changes to their after injecting the weight loss shot. And it's not leading to shrinkage. It's the opposite. Apparently making it bigger, according to the story. So, yeah, male users are revealing that while they are shrinking, not in that area, but that's a thing, apparently. So, yeah. So now if you are on the GLP-1 drug and the shot, you could always say you're doing it because you want to, you know, increase your girth. But also, too, you know what I saw? The title of this thing is Ozempic Penis, and I don't even want to hear that phrase ever again as long as I live in my life, but I just wanted to share the title of the story with you because that's what it says. And there's also a thing where you should never, ever, ever click unsubscribe on an email, because when you do, you know, your inbox is all this crap and you click unsubscribe. A lot of times what happens then is that it's actually hackers who send that to you. And then what they wind up doing is they get your name and your email address, and then they do that. They put it in a database, and they target you for scams and try to get money out of you, phishing money. That is the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VanariaDental.com, VanariaDental.com. It's about care, not about cost. And I know it's tempting. You want to hit unsubscribe. But if you do, sometimes that email address that you think you're unsubscribing, if and sometimes you think it's a credible company, but it's actually then that going to a database to say, we got a live one here. And then they go after you because they think they got a live one here. So just keep that in mind. All right, big fourth and final hour coming up. AI is going to kill us all and destroy us all. Wait till you hear the latest concerns about artificial intelligence and the military. Don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.